اجمعين. وبعد، my brothers and sisters, the topic today, and inshallah this we will do over a couple of jumas inshallah, and the topic is, what is your brand? Is it Coca-Cola, is it Pepsi, or is it Levi's, or what? Huh? What is your brand? Perceived value is proportional to perceived benefits. I mean that the level at which we value something depends on how much we see that thing as beneficial for us. And I want you to remember this word, brand. Why do people buy branded stuff? I've got Dolce & Gabbana there. I've got Sit Straight. Let me see what you've got on your shirt. But some FIFA there. You usually find somebody with Armani Exchange and so on. Mashallah, you get a lot of brands in this masjid. And if I can prove to you that all those branded T-shirts you're wearing were actually manufactured in a place, little town near Pollachi called Tirupur. And you can get the same shirt for maybe 1/100th what you paid for it. And it's still the same shirt. But you are paying for D&G or you are paying for, you know, YSL or whatever on your shirt, right? Why? Because perceived value is proportional to perceived benefits. You see some value, you see some benefit for you, for yourself from wearing a brand. Now, what benefit there can be from paying to advertise somebody else's business, I don't know. But anyway, you are the ones buying them. My question is, I want to ask myself and I want to ask you, what is your brand? What is your brand? Seriously think about that. Seriously think about that. And why brand? Because brand inspires loyalty. Brand differentiates. Brand enables you to influence. Without brand, you are a grain of rice in a sack. You're still rice, but you're one grain in a sack. Undistinguishable, unidentifiable, undifferentiated, unknown, ineffective while you live, and unmourned when you die. And that's why we have to say, what is my brand? So let me begin and ask you a straightforward question. Is this how you want to live your life? Like a grain of rice in a sack? Because a grain of rice in a sack also has a right to live like that. And if that is how you want to live, then alhamdulillah, all power to you. I cannot say go away because this is Jummah. You came for Jummah, so sit there, relax, go to sleep, and we'll wake you up when the adhan goes for the khutbah. But if you don't want to live like that, then wake up and listen carefully. And then do something about changing your life. Our brand has four elements. Any of you who has been involved in any branding exercise knows that we look at brands in terms of what constitutes that brand. What are the elements of that brand? Our brand has four elements. Number one, we love Allah. Number two, we obey Allah. Number three, we are one nation. And number four, we are a people with a purpose. I want you to remember these four things. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined our brand. And he said in a hadith in Kitab al-Fitan in Ibn Majah, which you have heard from me a million times, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bada al-Islam ghariban. وَسَيَوُدُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَى فَتُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَى. He said Islam started as something strange and it will go back to being seen as something strange, and give glad tidings of the Jannah to the people the world will call strangers. So who are these strangers? In a world filled with corruption, the upright one is the stranger. In a world filled with shamelessness and promiscuity, the dignified one is a stranger. In a world filled with lies, the truthful one is a stranger. In a world filled with oppression, the courageous one is a stranger. In a world filled with cruelty, the compassionate one is a stranger. The question to you and to me is, do you want to be strangers or not? Or do you want to be one grain of rice in a sack? As I said, make up your mind. My brothers and sisters, the original strangers were the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And alhamdulillah, there is a lot of renewed interest, especially among the young people, in the lives of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. I'm going tomorrow night to Malaysia to speak at the Heroes of Islam conference, which is a conference organized by the Islamic University, the International Islamic University in Malaysia, on the lives of the Sahaba. I'm just going for 2 days. I'm back here next Jummah, so you can't escape me. But just to let you know, alhamdulillah, there is a renewed interest in the lives of the Sahaba. And this is eminently a good thing because we want that to happen. We want people to have role models which are worthy of following. My brothers and sisters, in my view, we Muslims have the unique opportunity today to recreate the character of the Sahaba in today's world, to create standard bearers of Islam, people who exemplify, embody, and showcase Islam for the world by their speech, their actions, and their lives, and who are a source of goodness for all those around them. And they do this not to show the world. They do this for the pleasure of Allah. Don't get yourself unnecessarily confused by saying, if I'm doing this, am I falling into riya? You're not falling into riya. If to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala publicly was riya, there would be no adhan and there would be no masjid. You would be told to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dead of the night in your house. To do good, there is no riya. There is adhan, there is an announcement to the whole world, the Muslims are going to pray. There's no riya in this. The riya is the issue of your heart. And therefore, let us be very clear in our minds. If you live your life in order to showcase Islam for the world, and with ikhlasun niyya to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshaAllah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with that. My brothers and sisters, the world today is desperate for leadership. It is desperate for leaders with integrity, focused on excellence. Leaders with a sense of mission, answerable to a higher power that is aware of all that we feel and think and say and do. Leaders for whom justice and compassion are their two eyes, whose hearts bear witness to the testimony of the truth, and whose tongue and hand never rises to oppress anyone. I believe that this is what we should focus on, to create a working model of Islamic leadership which will be a benchmark on a global platform. The task is complex and must be worked out in detail, but it's important enough for the best minds amongst ourselves to want to dedicate time and energy to it so that we can leave behind a legacy that will be a source of our deliverance on the day when there will be no friends and no intercessors. There is a tendency in the world today to define everything a Muslim does as a factor of his Islam. Sometimes we feel this is unjustified and we complain. And we say that the actions of the Muslim should not be taken to be reflective of Islam. But I remind myself and you that this complaining is a modern phenomenon. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, when they were asked about Islam, they used to say, Kunu mithlana. They used to say, be like us. For the Sahaba, Islam was their life. And they were the face of Islam to all those who wanted to know what Islam was. So why should we run away from this definition today? Let the world see every action of ours as a reflection of Islam. And let us therefore ensure that this reflection is always positive, that we do not do anything which is a negative reflection on Islam. And let us show the people of the world that the people may have changed, but the religion is still the same. My brothers and sisters, let us see the elements of our identity, our brand, one by one, and see how we can live our lives in such a way that the angels will walk with us and the world will say, there goes a Muslim. We are very happy that they are amongst us. They add value. They are our benchmarks, and we want to be like them. That is the challenge before us, to be those who the world will say these things about. I believe that in order to achieve greatness, it is necessary to first dream of great things, and this we must not be afraid to do. So we dream and we ask the one who sent the dream for the strength and guidance to make it come true. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq, the vision and the strength to do what is necessary to lay the foundation of a resurgence of Islam, where the will of Allah one day will shine again as a beacon of guidance to the world, as it did from a small village in the middle of Arabia 14 centuries ago. The first element of our brand, my brothers and sisters, is, what is it? We love Allah. We love Allah. The test of a relationship is the emotions that it evokes. The test of a relationship is the emotions that it evokes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who are the mu'mineen, who are the believers? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the believers are those who, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned before them, their hearts react. There is an effect on their hearts when the name of Allah comes. What is the first element of our brand as Muslims? That we love Allah. And what is the sign of this love? The emotions that it evokes in the heart. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the Muslim is the one, the believer is the one whose heart reacts to the mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It reacts by the awe and glory of His majesty. It reacts by the way the heart moves and shivers with this love and this respect of the awe and glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And when the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited before them, their iman increases. And what is the result of that? وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they have faith in their Rabb. They have tawakkul on their Rabb. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again described. See how the beauty of the bayan of the Quran, the explanation of the Quran. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us meters and gave us instruments to check what is our connection with Him. Whether we have a connection at all. And if we have a connection, how strong that connection is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us ways in which we can assess for ourselves. He gave us physical and physiological signs that happen to a person who is connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I recited for you the ayat from Surah Al-Anfal, which talks about how the heart reacts. So when we see the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around us, when we listen to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, connect with yourself and look at your own heart and say, what is happening to my heart? Is anything happening at all? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّنْ رَبِّهِ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِّنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. Allah nazzala ahsana al-hadith kitaban mutashabihan mathaniya taqsha'irru minhu juludu alladhina yakhshawna rabbahum thumma talinu juluduhum wa qulubuhum ila dhikrillah dhalika hudallahi yahdi bihi man yasha wa man yudlilillahu fama lahu min had. Specific physical signs. What happens to the skin? How the skin shivers when it feels an emotion. And what happens to the heart? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, is the one whose breast Allah has opened to Islam. So that he is in the nur from his Rabb. So he is in the guidance from his Rabb, from his creator. Is he equal to the one whose heart has not been open to Islam? A rhetorical question which has the answer in itself. So woe to those whose hearts are hardened against the remembrance of Allah. They are in plain error. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the best statement. Asdaqul hadith. A book, Kitab Allah, the book of Allah, the Quran. Its parts resembling each other in goodness and truth, often repeated. Parts resembling each other in goodness and truth, often repeated. The skins of those who fear their Rabb, the skins of those who have taqwa, shiver from it when they recite it or they hear it. And then their skin and their hearts soften to the remembrance of Allah. That is the guidance of Allah. What more do we want? Clear measure of connection. May Allah give us the personal experience of this connection, inshallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if this is happening to you, this is guidance from your Rabb. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, in a famous hadith, he said, the disease of the heart is the dryness of the eyes. He said, the dryness of the eyes is a sign of the hardness of the heart. When a Muslim cries, when the tears fall from the eyes of a Muslim for the fear and glory of his Rabb, do not mistake that for weakness. You want to mistake that for weakness? Go and crash against him and see what happens to you. It's not weakness. It is the glory and majesty of his Rabb. If that was weakness, Umar ibn al-Khattab would not cry. Because Umar ibn al-Khattab is an icon of strength in this ummah among the Salaf. And in a famous story from the Seerah, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said to Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu, who was Abdurrahman ibn Auf? Among the ulama of this ummah, among the ulama of the Sahaba, among the leaders, among the Ashar al-Mubashara, among the Badriyin, and a millionaire. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu is the Khalifa. He says to Abdurrahman ibn Auf, there is a caravan which has come, let us go and see how they are doing, if everybody is okay, and so on and so forth. The Khalifa, the king of the Muslims, is going to look after the welfare of some caravan of people. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they came from. Just to see if everyone is okay. And who does he take with him? Does he take a servant? No, he takes one of the leaders, one of the elders. They both go there. And what do they find there? They find there a woman whose baby is crying. And she's trying to feed him some solid food and the baby does not eat and the baby is crying. So Umar ibn al-Khattab goes to her and says, why don't you make that child keep quiet? Because people are sleeping. Your child is disturbing everybody. And after some time, it continues. And the child keeps crying. And Umar ibn al-Khattab goes again and again, two or three times. And he says, woe to you, what kind of a mother are you? She says, what can I do? It's not my fault. She says, it's the fault of Umar ibn al-Khattab. And she does not know who she is talking to. So says, now Umar ibn al-Khattab says, how is it Umar ibn al-Khattab's fault? He said, because Umar said, radiallahu anhu, he said that the pension, the Muslim government used to give a pension to every child which is born. The state would give money to anyone who had a child as help for them to bring up the child. She says, Umar ibn al-Khattab said, the pension will be given only to a child which has been weaned, which has stopped breastfeeding. So I'm trying to stop this child from breastfeeding. Umar ibn al-Khattab says, how old is that child? And she says, he's like 6 months old or something. He said, how can a 6 month old child be weaned? She said, ask Umar ibn al-Khattab that. Don't ask me that. Because I'm a poor woman. I need the money. The state will not give me the money unless the child is weaned. And this is the qanun, this is the rule that he has set. So what can I do? Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu said that it was time for Salat al-Fajr. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu went into the masjid. He said he led Salat al-Fajr. And he said, wallahi, I could not understand his recitation because he was weeping and weeping and weeping. He said he cried so much I could not understand what he was reciting. And he said, after Salatul Fajr finished, Umar ibn al-Khattab turned around, he gave a khutbah and he said, may Allah forgive Umar. How many children have suffered because of his unjustified law? He said, I decree today that every child which is born will be given a stipend from the minute it is born. Khashyatullah. Khashyatullah. We are people who love Allah. And we love Allah because we know Allah. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned and told us what happens when we understand His kalam. And the ayat of Surah Al-Hashr, which you have heard me recite many, many times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, what happens when His kalam is sent on somebody or something which understands this kalam? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشيا متصديا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily when this word is sent down, if it were to be sent down on a mountain, the mountain would disintegrate with the awe and glory and majesty of Allah. Min khashyatillah, with the khashya of Allah, with the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the realization of who Allah is. And Allah says, we give these examples to the people so that they will reflect. My brothers and sisters, to love somebody, you first have to know them. You cannot love someone you don't know. So do you know Allah? I ask myself this, do I know Allah? And I mean really know Allah. Do we have a relationship with Allah? Do we talk to Allah? Do we consult Him? Do we know that He hears and sees and knows and listens and answers dua? Do we know this? When I say no, I mean no down deep in the pit of our bellies, in the bottom of our hearts, not no intellectually here as a thought. Does this knowledge do something to us? Because wallahi, only if it does something, it is knowledge. Otherwise, it's a burden. If it does not do anything, it's only a burden. كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are like donkeys carrying books. The book does not do anything for the donkey. It's only a burden that the donkey is carrying. My question is, if, and may Allah keep us away from that, if our situation is where we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intellectually in our minds, but this knowledge of Allah does not do anything for us, my question is, so what's your plan to do something about this? Do you want to live like this? And do you want to die, and when you are dying, you don't know who you are going to? Or do you want to live with this knowledge, doing things for you in this life, and doing things for you at the moment of your death, and doing things for you after you die? Because that's the only knowledge which has the power to do that. Everything else is left behind here. No matter how complex and how complicated and how expensive to attain and so on and so forth, everything else is left behind here. The only thing which goes with us beyond our graves is this knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now alhamdulillah, we don't have to speak on behalf of Allah to tell the world who Allah is. So I'm going to recite for you the ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself. And you know the ayat, and go and look up the meanings. The Jummah khutbah is always constrained with time, so I'm not going to tell you the meanings here. Go and look up the meanings. You know the ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء
وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم.
Which ayat is this? Ayat al-Kursi. We all know the ayat al-Kursi. Look up the meanings. Go look up the meanings. Why am I just reciting Quran for you? Why am I not telling you the English meaning of this? Because there is a power in the kalam of Allah which is not there in the translation. Because the kalam of Allah has the power to enter through the ears straight into the heart. Whether you understand it or not. So listen to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any disturbance. Let the kalam sink into you. Let it permeate your whole body and your whole being. Right? Settle down and listen without any disturbance. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the ayat, the first of which I recited earlier when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about the change that happens on those who understand who He is. And then He introduced Himself. And He said in Surah Al-Hashr, the last ayat of Surah Al-Hashr, the last two ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر Subhanallah amma yushrikun. هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. I will put the translations in the text of this khutbah which will go up on the net, so you will have the translation when you read it. But just now listen to the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the actual words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is Allah? He said, say to them, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ وَحَدِ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدِ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدِ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And many other places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced Himself in the Quran. Now, we heard who Allah is. My brothers and sisters, so how can we learn to love Allah? How can we learn to love Allah? Let me teach you a tool. And I want you to go and do this tonight before you go to bed. And actually physically do it. Don't do it on iPads and iPods and whatnot. Take a pen, take a paper. And write. Specifically write. Make a list. Make a list of all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you for which you need to be thankful. For example, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He did not give your breathing into your own hands. That He did not say you will live as long as you continue to breathe. Up to you. But you miss one breath and you're dead. Thank Allah that He didn't do this for us. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He did not give your digestive system into your own control. That as long as you are awake to make it work, it works. The minute you fall asleep, it stops. Eh? Think about that. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go and look in the mirror. Go and look in the mirror. And then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave you a face that somebody doesn't have to run away from you when they look at you. Go and look in the mirror. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave you hearing and He gave you sight and He gave you intelligence. What would life be if we were not intelligent? I'm not saying all of us think we are intelligent. I mean, take a reality check on that. But seriously, think about that. What would life be if you were dumb? What would life be if you were not dumb? You were just slow. You had a mental condition where you were mentally retarded. Ask your parents. Go call your parents. Speak to them. Ask them, did you specifically make a dua when I was in your... Ask your mom. Did you specifically make a dua when I was in your belly? When I was in your womb? O Allah, do not make my son or daughter mentally retarded. Ask your mother. Did she actually make this dua? People of my vintage, I think my parents and so on, didn't even occur to them. Yeah? But you ask all these young ones who've got smart parents with iPods and iPads. Ask them. Ask your mother. Did she specifically make a dua that make my son or daughter without mental illness? Should not be mentally retarded. What would you have done if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed that you will have a child exactly as you like? Whatever you ask, you will get. What you don't ask, you will not get. Has he? Allah gave us this brain not as manure for the hair. It's not a pot with mud in it that the hair grows out of. It's meant to be used. Think, reflect. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically, and people like me, wallahi, I can actually remember those du'as. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically for not accepting some of your du'as. Not accepting. Du'as that you made fervently, every single holy place in the world you went and you rubbed your head on the ground and you begged and pleaded with Allah. Oh Allah, please give me. Allah, please, please, please. Allah didn't give it. And today you say, oh Allah, Ya Rab. Alhamdulillah, you did not accept my dua. What would have been my state if you had accepted that dua which I asked you? Seriously, I'm sure every single one of you has such duas. And those of you, especially the young ones who are famous at this. Even I didn't do this at this age. I did that at your age. Dumb duas. Seriously. He has this dumb duas. Alhamdulillah, because we ask because of whatever knowledge we have. But thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, you saved me from this musibah. If you had accepted this dua, where would I be today? And those of you who are waiting for me to tell you what dua I asked you, not a chance. So go and make your own list. Go and make your own list. And then stand in tahajjud. Recite Quran. And when you go into sujood, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each one of those things. Inshallah, if you and I do this, that takes care of all our tahajjud till the day we die. Because if you are going to thank Allah for one ni'mah in each sajda, I don't think we have enough lifespan to make the sujood required to thank Allah for all the ni'mat. Karenge bhai? Inshallah. Make a list. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَيْنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَعْزِدَنَّكُمْ. The one who thanks me for what I have given him, I will increase the bounty. And people don't understand this. They think that I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for my wife and I'll get one more. لَا حَوَلَا خُوَةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That's azab. That is musibah. That's not a bounty. Seriously, I tell people, you got married once. Alhamdulillah. You got a good woman. Keep clean. Stay away from everybody else. Don't rock the boat because you will sink. Right? If you didn't marry the right woman, you married somebody wrong, it shows you have a lousy choice, man. The next time you are going to do the same thing. Why get into the same problem again? Right? Stick with that. Make sabr. Thank Allah. People don't understand. They think increase in bounty means. No, increase in bounty doesn't mean that. Increase in bounty means the appreciation of something. Tell me something. Why does somebody go and smoke a joint? For what? For a high. What is a high? High is increased awareness. Yes? Suddenly you're more alive to the world. Yes? We don't need joints for that. We need a kalam of Allah. Alhamdulillah. You get your hits on that. Increased awareness. When you are going for a holiday, what are you going to do? What are you going to do there? Go and sleep? No. You go do experience. You build experience. You are aware of this. Thankfulness makes you aware of the ni'mat. That itself is increasing the ni'mah. Because I was living, mentally dead. And suddenly I'm aware, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah, what a beautiful life Allah has given me. I'm eating some food. I take taste in this. I don't know how many of you have, I was a professional tea taster. Right? And the same thing goes for people who taste other things, which you should not be tasting, but anyway. And how do you taste tea? You don't taste tea by drinking it. You taste tea by sipping it, letting it go around on your palate, letting all the taste buds get hits on that, and then you spit it out. Because if you have to taste like 300 cups, if you drink 300 cups, you are dead. So you spit it out. So the point is, what is that happening? It is enhancing the awareness. Enhancing the awareness. Thankfulness enhances our awareness of the ni'mat that Allah has given us. The blessings that Allah has given us. And that is the meaning of وَلَا إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَعَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And of course, inshallah, may Allah give you more and more and more. But the point I'm saying is that this thankfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what is meant. And that's why I said make a list and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, thankfulness is the secret of love. Because when you thank Allah, you love Allah. You say, oh Allah, you not only gave me all of this, you gave me all of this without even asking. I didn't even ask. Didn't even occur to me to ask. But you gave me nevertheless. I was somewhere languishing in some pit. And you gave me hidayah, you gave me guidance, you brought me out from there into the beauty of your guidance. I used to be rapping and tapping and God knows what I was doing, and today you give me the ability to enjoy the sound of your kalam. I was engaged, my mouth would be, I was one of those who would take pride in the fact that I could curse for 15 minutes without repeating myself, you know. Vocabulary of curse words. And today, mind is blank with all that, and instead I can recite the Quran for 15 minutes without repeating an ayah. Alhamdulillah. Thank Allah. Because remember, every single thing that we really need, essentials, Allah gave us without asking. Every single one of them, Allah gave us without asking. I remember, I saw Taqi somewhere, he's around here. He and I used to go for a walk around Jiran Palace, that whole 6 kilometer circle. And he and I used to, there's a series of steps going down, a very long bit of steps when you're taking that. Taqi and I used to race up those steps. And Taqi is like 20 years my junior, even then he was still 20 years my junior. And sometimes I would beat him. Sometimes he would beat me. No shame in being beaten by somebody 20 years junior. But we used to race up those steps. Without any exaggeration. He knows, he's witness. But then one day, my knee started hurting. And may Allah forgive me. I thought to myself, for 45, 50 years, this knee didn't hurt. I used to vault onto a galloping horse. Nothing happened to the knees. I would jump down from 10 feet, nothing happened to the knees. Jump and roll. I used to run up and down hillsides. Nothing happened to the knees. I never thought about that. And now when the knee hurts, now you remember. What about those 50 years? That knee hurt, that knee didn't hurt. And it worked and it worked and it worked. Thank Allah. It's a tragedy of the human being that we thank only when we lose something. That we are aware of it only when we lose it. That we become aware of it only when we lose it. And this is a tragedy. We need to be aware of it while we still have it. And we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with thankfulness for Him. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with His nur and His muhabbah, with guidance, with His light and with His love. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that which is pleasing to Him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give power in our dua, that when we ask dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this dua. I've been asked today to make dua, and kya naam bole bachega? Arif Hussain, 11-month-old baby Arif Hussain is on a ventilator. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the du'as of you people. Make du'a. Make du'a. Ask Allah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, you brought him into this world. Oh Allah, keep him here. Oh Allah, give him full health. Completely cure him. Take him home. Make him the light of guidance and make him the light of happiness for his parents. May Allah cure him completely and take him, take away all his pain and all his illness. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restore him to his parents with full and complete health and complete soundness. We continue to make dua for the other two sisters I mentioned. Our sister who is who has the issue with the cancer, and the other one who has the other issue with herpes. And both of them, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure them and cure their illnesses completely and totally in a way which is like a mu'jiza, instantly that the illness completely goes away. Make dua with complete yaqeen. It's not a fairy tale, I'm not fantasizing. It is the power of my Rabb to do that if he wants. It's up to us to make him do it. It's up to us. Because he said, Udu'uni yastajib lakum. He said, ask me and I will accept, I will give. And we ask him in the name of his kalam. We ask him in the name of his promise. Because he is la yukhliful mi'ad. He is the one who does not lie in it. He is the one who does not change his promise. He doesn't promise something and change it. We ask him in the name of his glory and his majesty to give us what we ask for him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.